Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, July 21st, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am good. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. Dave Hamilton, I hope you are well.
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I am so glad that that our technology is cooperating for the moment so we can all be here today. I'm also glad that Eero is our sponsor. They're the Wi-Fi mesh product that I'm using in my place right now, and I'm very happy with my Wi-Fi performance. We'll talk about them in a little bit. But I think before we do that, we need to kind of set the record straight, help clear the air, give people a better understanding of what's going on with apps on their iPhones. And here's where we're going with this. A couple days ago, it started to be the thing on the internet to talk about why you shouldn't force quit apps on your iOS devices. And so we ended up with what amounted to pretty much a blanket statement from John Gruber saying, look, iOS is designed so you never need to quit these apps, and so you shouldn't be quitting apps because you're actually having a negative impact on your battery and your processor. Just let iOS do its thing, and he added the caveat that occasionally there might be an app that that doesn't play well, and you have to deal with that separately. But the general statement is, don't quit apps ever. And Dave, you offered some clarity on that.
Alternative facts.
Well, yeah, I mean it, and I love John Gruber, but he, his articles evolve after they've been published often, and so when you said that he added the caveat to that, that is true, and it was after the article was published, But the problem was people took his premise as blanket advice because certainly the title of his piece was blanket advice. Never quit apps on iOS. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's simply not true. But in general, his advice is correct. That iOS is really good at managing this stuff. What it does is it's what I call the freeze and freeze approach. When mm-hmm. you move an app to the background by hitting the home button or switching to another app, iOS generally and very quickly puts that app into stasis. It freezes it and keeps it from doing anything with the CPU. But then also in the other freeze is iOS frees up the RAM that was being used by that app if necessary. It you know, the apps on iOS are event based. Right. Mm-hmm. And so when you're programming an app, you basically program a bunch of these triggers and say, OK, if this trigger happens, then go and do this. If this trigger happens, then go and do this. And one of the triggers that you have to program in order to be a good iOS citizen and get approval in the App Store is what to do in an low memory event. So when the system sends you the app a low memory event, you have to go through very quickly and immediately and jettison as much of your app from RAM as possible, like free up all the stuff that you don't absolutely need. And even then, iOS still might say, yeah, you're gone. And just, you know, unceremoniously jettison all of your stuff from RAM. Mm-hmm. So I iOS is very, very good at this. And if apps are written to live within the iOS box, then apps are very good at this. Some apps, for good and other reasons, don't live entirely within that particular box. A lot of times it's because of the functionality that you want in an app, say a GPS app that's going to run in the background and tell you when to do your next turn, like Waze or Google Maps. Right?
Okay.
So they need to be alive in the background if possible. You know, and sometimes those apps will launch on their own, right? I have an app from Escort, the company that makes my radar detector, and also an app from the company Automatic that makes my little car monitoring system. Mm-hmm. And my phone, and this is another part of iOS, my phone is now smart enough to usually know that when it gets a Bluetooth connection from my radar detector and my car and my automatic simultaneously, that I want these two apps to be launched in the background. Right. And so it usually launches them, which is great because then my radar detector shows the speed limit, which is actually the reason I really like to have it. It just shows me the speed limits of the roads that I'm on, which is, if you've never driven with that, it's one of the most handy things in the world, because you don't have to worry about reading those speed limit signs that goes by.
When the 50 mile an hour sign when you're zipping by at 80.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and just knowing, like, you know, especially if you're on like a backcountry road or on the highway or something where you've been for a while, speed limit signs aren't all that common. And so just having something that will tell you sort of on demand and on request what the speed limit is on that road is really handy. Anyway, those apps generally launch in the background, but they are location aware, like active location aware apps that use GPS. And therefore burn a little more battery. So there are apps that will sit in the background, either intentionally by you or not, that will burn CPU and therefore burn battery. And this goes quite contrary to, like you said, the blanket advice of you should not force quit apps on iOS. In general, that's true. But there are certain apps that it absolutely makes sense to quit. And you know, too many people were taking this advice from Gruber as gospel and not really reading between the lines, because he didn't create a whole lot of lines to read between, to be fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's got like a little footnote at the bottom, part of which says, man, if you have some problematic apps, feel free to quit those. But the rest of the two pages of his article are, you're an idiot if you quit apps. You're an idiot if you quit apps. You're an idiot if you quit apps. So I can see why people might think they're idiots if they quit apps. And in a general sense, that might be true. But in a very specific sense, it's not.
All right. So here's what I do. And tell me if you think this is reasonable or not, if I'm being an idiot or not.
Sure.
And I'm a big kid. I can take it.
You can take it. I understand. Yeah.
Okay. So I have what? A jillion apps on my phone, and I'm launching all different kinds of apps at all different times. If I fire up the app switcher thing, and I'm looking for an app, and I see something go by that I haven't used in like 3 months, I'm just going to flick and get rid of it because I realize I'm probably just not using the app.
Right.
And so I'm clearing out the stuff I'm not using so that the app list is a little bit shorter. And then occasionally I'll deal with apps that are clearly causing problems for me, like Facebook. And I got to the point where I was force quitting Facebook to try and keep it from eating my battery. And then ultimately I just got rid of the app.
Sure.
And I have quit Skype on my iPhone on a regular basis, but then I learned from you that didn't even matter because as long as I'm logged into Skype on my iPhone, it's just going to chew through my battery.
Yes. And so, right. So there are some apps that will just do this. And for me, in addition to the two that you mentioned, Facebook and Sonos, Facebook and Skype, Sonos is one as well. A number of versions ago, they added lock screen into integration, which is really cool because I can, if I start playing music on one of my Sonos speakers with my iPhone, I can wake up my iPhone and right there on my lock screen is not only the song that's playing, but the ability to pause and shift back and forth and also control volume. Right. So that's cool. But in order for that to happen, the Sonos app remains running in the background, and you can prove this to yourself if you have Xcode, which is available for free. And inside Xcode is an app called Instruments. Mm-hmm. And inside Instruments is a app or section called Activity Monitor. This might sound familiar to you if you run a Mac. And you can run Activity Monitor on your iOS device when it's plugged in. And I think the next version, the beta version of Xcode, might let you do this wirelessly, but I haven't tested that. I know it adds some wireless features. Yeah, which would be cool because when you plug your iPhone in, a lot of processes spawn just being triggered by having a battery or, you know, power connected to it. Mm-hmm. So you'll see a lot of sort of erroneous stuff in there. But if you plug in and run Activity Monitor inside of Instruments, then you can see clear as day which apps are using CPU. And if you know them to be in the background, well, you've just proven that background apps can use CPU.
There you go.
And
you
the
posted
Sonos
app. A screenshot too, Dave. Of,
I did.
The deliveries app, right?
No, of the Sonos app.
Sonos app.
I posted a screenshot of Instruments showing the Sonos app running in the background. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So based on what I told you, am I reasonable in the way that I'm handling force quitting apps?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've heard other people say they want to just clean up their task switcher. And so that's the reason they quit apps. And to me, that's fine. Like that might be the best reason to want to do that.
It seems silly to me to flip through 40 apps looking for the five that I use all the time.
Right. And you know, to be fair, on iPad anyway, in iOS 11, the dock includes your three most recently used apps or the three apps that iOS thinks you're going to want to use. So perhaps mitigating the need for you to clean that stuff up. But yeah. Sure.
And I've been finding that to be very fascinating just to see which three apps kind of float there more than others.
Right. Right. That is not unreasonable. The thing I will say though, and that I've experienced in the last couple of days since I started paying attention to this again, is apps are not static things. They keep getting updates, and those updates might change what you know about their battery behavior. So in addition to Instruments, you can also look in iOS. If you go to Settings and then Battery, in there, you've got a list of all of the apps organized by battery usage over the last either 24 hours or 7 days. And if you tap that list, you get to see what portion of them has been background versus foreground. And what I've learned in the last couple of days is that the Facebook app is no longer chewing a lot of battery in the background for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, it definitely used to.
Yeah, for sure.
But I noticed, and they said they fixed it, but they didn't actually fix it with that. But something since then fixed it. And it's relatively recent, just the last couple of months. But I noticed it when I was running Instruments to get the screenshot of the Sonos app. I noticed that Facebook was not appearing in the list. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I've left it running and it's only got, you know, less than 5 minutes of background usage in the last 24 hours, which is, you know, way better than it used to be.
So. Markedly better. All right. Yeah. So, Dave, I'm going to let you be the guinea pig on this one for me, if you don't mind. And I'm going to wait until you have more time with Facebook on your iPhone before I reinstall it on mine.
Yeah, I'm not ready to deliver a judgment on this yet. I'm just telling you what I've observed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here's my takeaway from what the whole force quitting app thing is. You're probably fine not quitting apps, but there are certain apps that might be chewing through your battery or your CPU, and odds are you already know what they are. Those might be ones you need to force quit every now and then. And if you have apps that you're just not using, but they keep showing up in that application switcher thing, get rid of those.
Yep.
And call it good.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks for separating fact from fiction, Dave.
Yeah, sure. And again, you know, the general advice is right, that force quitting apps will potentially put you in a scenario where you are, when you switch back to that app that you've force quit, it could very likely take more battery to relaunch it than it would ever have used in the background. You know, iOS, that whole freeze and freeze thing, the unfreeze and reload process is extremely efficient. So it is worth not quitting everything. But there are going to be specific apps that you potentially want to quit. One other piece of advice.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't use an app regularly, delete it from your phone, because we have seen apps, not many, but some, that actually wind up launching all by themselves in the background. And still running. It's not many of them, but like you said earlier, Skype is one. If you are logged into Skype, you can reboot your phone and it will still be running in the background.
Yeah, I logged out of Skype yesterday.
Yeah.
And today I've noticed that my battery life is markedly better.
Yeah. And the reason for that is Skype is aware and needs to be ready to take a phone call and do all of the phone call things with it when someone calls you on Skype. So it has to run.
Yeah. So I'm not complaining saying, oh, drat you, Skype.
Right.
Because it's doing exactly what it's supposed to. The problem for me was I didn't realize it was doing exactly what it was supposed to.
Right.
and so when that became clear to me, then I logged out. So it's all fine now.
It's all good. Yeah. Yeah. It's just it's an eyes wide open thing. And as with most generalizations and blanket advice, there are very valid exceptions to this.
Sure. All right. Well, hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Eero. That's the Wi-Fi mesh network device setup that I'm using in my place right now. As a matter of fact, I'm looking off to my left, and I can actually see my main Eero sitting there. I have the Generation 2, and then at opposite ends of my place, I have Eero beacons set up. So what I have is this Wi-Fi network where my devices don't ever need to think about what they're connected to, that all they need to know is that they're on the right network. And then the Eero system is taking care of making sure that they're connected to that access point that's going to give them the best performance. And I've noticed things like with my Apple TV, I don't have buffering issues anymore. Like for a long time, I just gave up. And this is back when I was using an Airport Extreme base station. I gave up on using Apple TV over Wi-Fi and plugged in an Ethernet cable because the buffering issues are just horrible. And with my Eero, not a problem. I keep telling myself, oh, I should get a long cable to run to where the Apple TV is in my current place. And I never get around to it because it's working just fine. So why bother? And I'm just loving that I have this network that throws a signal far farther than it ever did when I was using my Airport Extreme. I love that I don't have these weird buffering and dropout issues that I had before. And I have a gigabit Ethernet connection to my computer sitting here at my desk, and I keep forgetting to plug the cable in because my MacBook Pro on the Eero is doing everything perfectly fine. And the thought for me of doing podcasting off of a wireless connection prior to this was just crazy talk. And yet here I am. So I would love for you guys to have a network that's as awesome as mine. So please go over to the Eero website and buy your own Eero setup. So get that second generation model that has the primary base station and the two beacons with it because it's working fantastic for me. Eero.com, Eero.com. And then when you select your package and then you get to checkout, choose overnight shipping and use the promotion code TDO. And when you do that, you get overnight shipping for free, which is really, really cool. So you guys can order right away and have a killer network like overnight. It's absolutely wonderful. Eero.com, Eero.com. And thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor today. Okay, so before we wrap up, Brian, you wrote up a couple days ago now, I believe it was on Wednesday when iOS 10.3.3 officially came out. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so what you noted when you wrote it up was that there were bug fixes and security fixes in there.
Yes.
Which is great because that's absolutely true. What Apple didn't tell us, though, but we've been able to figure out since then, is that one of those security fixes is for the Broadpone.
Excellent.
Yes. So for those of you that aren't familiar with Broadpone, this is a very specific hack that affects the Broadcom Wi-Fi chips in iPhones, starting with, I believe, the 5 and newer. And if your Android friends think that they can get all smug about this, they can't. because this same chipset is used in like a jillion different Android smartphone models too. I mean, this is like the standard chipset that's going to be used.
I would actually caution Android owners in general from being smug about being Android owners, but that's just me.
Yeah, but you know, so yeah. Anyhow, so this hack, what it does is it lets attackers go through the chip and bypass the operating system security measures and then just get into the device. So
that seems like a problem.
It seems like a problem. Now, it gets better because the way Broadpwn works, it can be done remotely and it doesn't require user interaction. So what that means is someone could like hang out at a coffee shop because, you know, why not? There's a lot of people that are going to be either going in or walking by and just start sniffing for devices, mobile devices that have Wi-Fi turned on, and then start hacking into them. And you would never know that someone had gotten into your device. So Broadcom can't fix this because they burned the problem right into their chips. Apple had to release a fix for this, and that's part of what's in the iOS 10.3.3 update. So if you're thinking, oh, I'll get around to installing that later, I'd recommend installing it sooner, like right away, because even though you may not have a problem with this, the fact that this is a big open door into our devices and there are a lot of jerks out in this world, don't give them a chance to screw with your stuff. So get the 10.3.3 update installed right away so that you can block the Broadpwn hack on your device.
You know what we don't know is if the iOS 11 beta has the same fix in it yet. It will. It assuredly will. We don't know that it will, but it surely will. But we don't know if it's there yet.
No, we do not know if it's there yet. And when I say we, I mean the three of us collectively. There may be someone out there that has tested and knows if the fix is in place. But if not, you can bet it will be there soon.
You know, these kinds of hacks are scary stuff, man.
Yeah, they are. And the crappy thing is these are attacks that fall out of the scope of what Apple can be watching for all the time. I mean, Apple can be like right on top of their own software flaws and fix those very quickly. But I mean, how can any company look for every single possible security flaw in every single chip that they're getting from other companies?
It's true. It's true. Fortunately, there is a broader community of white hat researchers, and fortunately, Apple is starting to work better with them and rewarding them, even if they're not quite rewarding them enough yet. So, yeah, it's not like Apple is alone in this. But anyway, it's a very good thing that this problem was patched, and you know, we definitely want our listeners and readers getting on that, right?
Yep. So this affects iPhone 5 and newer, iPad 4 and newer, 6th generation iPod Touch. So if you have any of those devices, then hop to it, gang, because you need to get this one patched. All right. Hey, we are out of time. Dave, thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. This is a fun one.
Yeah, I enjoy when we get to have our technical talks, but they're not so technical that they make people's eyes bleed. And I think we totally managed to keep people from bleeding today. So thank you for that.
That's good.
Yeah. Brian, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, and I always enjoy getting to do shows with both of you. Eero, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to the Eero website. That's Eero.com, and pick up your Eero Wi-Fi mesh system and use that code TDO when you choose your shipping at checkout so that you get your overnight shipping for free. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again on Monday.